to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jodi Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hi, Jodi. Happy Wednesday.
Hi, Eleni. Happy launch day.
Happy launch day to you. I'm very excited for everybody to hear about today's two special guests. And you'll hear a lot of the themes on this episode that tie into the work that we do at Base Beauty, our creative agency. So I want to start our conversation by spotlighting one of our clients, Face Reality. They are bridging the gap between the professional aesthetics and dermatology with their stackable skincare. And we launched a really amazing campaign designed to make medical collaboration the future of acne care.
Well, we have to start with the data. Nearly 40% of Gen X, me, and older consumers say that skincare should be recommended by a doctor. How interesting. This is so different from younger generations, but whatever, we'll stay focused here. Face Reality saw an opportunity to expand from 4,000 estheticians across all 50 states and now reach over 11,000 dermatologists nationwide. So when it comes to treating acne and giving people hope, Face Reality is the place to be.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing program, a dermatologist-backed regimen that stacks seamlessly with RX treatments, with lasers, with topical therapies. It's very much designed to enhance outcomes, not compete with them.
Both of my kids have been on Face Reality and worked with an esthetician since they were in the preteen or tween, and their skin is amazing, by the way. So that's not a paid commercial. I pay for the esthetician treatments, but I can tell you it works. Anyway, back to this topic, you know, branching out beyond estheticians into dermatology practices, we partnered with respected derms like Dr. Lindsay Zubritsky and Dr. Toral Badaya and executed really smart seating and eventing strategies. We made the focus of this rollout at AAD, and the campaign lead goals were incredible. It's like 9x. It's crazy.
Yeah, an amazing program. You know, once we start working with KOLs in a certain program or in a certain industry with our clients, we find ways for them to be part of other activations with the brand. So that's a lot of what we're doing now as well, finding ways for these partnerships to turn into really credible voices for the brand. So yeah, it's a great case study that you can find on LinkedIn.
Yes, just scroll through, you'll find it because we're posting it.
Jodi, tell us who we have on today's episode.
Oh, this is such a fun episode. You know, the theme is career capital, voices in finance and investing. And this episode is an intersection of legal strategy, growth, and innovation in beauty and healthcare. So we had Kara Posner on. She's a partner at Giannuzzi Lewinden, which is a law firm. And she was joined by Thomas Cunningham, a director of business development at Physician Growth Partners.
Yeah, it was an amazing episode. Kara, a partner at a boutique NYC law firm, represents over 1,500 clients in sectors ranging from beauty to wellness, focusing on everything from capital raises to M&A. And Thomas works closely with medical professionals, especially in dermatology, med spas, helping them navigate complex business transactions.
So together, they dive into a conversation about business, the challenge of guiding strong-willed founders, and how creativity and ambition remain essential in their roles.
From career paths that begin with dreams of animation and baseball to legal deals and investment banking, this conversation is jam-packed with sharp insight and human stories.
And for the lighter side of the episode, we played a music-themed game where Kara and Thomas reveal their favorite family-friendly music activities in New York and Chicago.
Yeah, it was a great game to show how personal passions help keep your work lives in balance.
So we loved getting a peek behind the scenes with these two. Let's hear it, Eleni.
Let's hear it. Kara Posner and Thomas Cunningham in episode 293.
Hey, beauty founders, brand builders, and industry insiders. Are you ready to level up?
Our friends at Kosako are back for the 9th annual edition of Beauty Connect. It is happening November 3rd through the 5th at the gorgeous Fairmont Century Plaza in Los Angeles.
Beauty Connect is the industry's go-to problem-solving platform. Our COO, Sarah Lavalley, will be joining this year for Base Beauty.
You'll also be surrounded by some of your favorite brands, Supergoop, House Labs, L'Occitane, Nordstrom, Bloomingdale's, and Beekman 1802.
We're talking curated one-on-one meetings, a luxe gift bag, intimate closed-door dinners with retailers, investors, and your sharpest peers.
Head to beautyconnectla.com and use our code WBMB for 10% off your ticket.
Let us know if you'll be attending. Your next big break could be in that room. Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. We're talking career capital today, legal strategy, growth, innovation, and sitting with me is Kara Posner, partner of Giannuzzi Lewinden, and Thomas Cunningham, director of business development at Physician Growth Partners. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
So let's just pause a minute before we go deep into our conversation about how we know each other. So Kara, we live in the same town.
We do.
Which is very cool. And we were introduced by Amanda Fitzpatrick. So thank you, Amanda, of Beauty Barrage.
Yes.
How do you know Amanda?
Just industry friends. She also happens to be the sister of one of our clients and another beauty industry veteran, Tommy Butkowitz.
So I love how our network came through for us to connect us together. Mm-hmm. And then Thomas, the origin story of us meeting together is you saw our podcast in a Beauty Connect email, and then you emailed me, and now we're here together. And like, look at how simple that is. Sure how cool, did. Right?
So 2000, sending an email.
Well, yeah, that like even emails get checked and read anymore and lead to productive conversations. So, yeah.
Yeah, you weren't AI, so she actually responded to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, maybe you wrote it with AI, but you did a good job. Okay, so this is a career journey show. We're going to talk a bit about, you know, what you do today and how it works in the marketplace, but we want to go back in time and learn a little bit about you, and we're going to start when you're 10 years old, you have dreams of what your job is going to be. I wanted to be an archaeologist. So, Kara, we'll start with you. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be an animator. I wanted to draw the Disney movies, and that was when I was 10. Unfortunately, Toy Story came out when I was 11, and computers took over. So, yeah.
That's a really fun ambition. Mm-hmm. Are you a good artist?
I've always loved to draw. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't brag, but I could draw pretty well. So as a kid, I was like, this is a career, but then, you know, everything kind of went digital and I had to pivot.
Do you know how to draw digitally?
No, I never learned.
Mm-hmm. And do you make fun drawings for your kids?
Yes. It's probably what I'm asked to do the most.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah. I can't cook, I can't do anything, but I can draw for them.
Okay. And Thomas, what were your career ambitions when you were little?
You said 10, right?
Yeah, 10, 11, 10 or 12.
Yeah. I was either professional baseball player, gosh, such a cliche, right? Be a professional athlete, or a stockbroker, because one of my uncles was on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade and kind of got exposure to some of that. So those are my two. I played college baseball. That's as far as I made it. So
yeah. That's pretty good.
Had to hang up the cleats after that. So.
So, you know, what's happened today? This is episode 5 of 6 that we're recording right now. And no one, when I've asked this question, has said they wanted to be like a movie star or like a pop star, which is really interesting. Usually we get a lot of like, I want to be a ballet dancer, I wanted to be a pop star, I wanted to be, you know, like Britney Spears, or I wanted to be a movie star. So I don't know if it's something about the career capital theme where we're getting much more unusual references, but this is pretty cool. And we've only gotten professional athlete once today. Yeah.
Wow.
So you're just one of two. Everything else has been wildly diverse. We actually had two people who wanted to be astronauts.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
They work together. That's now. Cool. Yeah.
Are they astronauts?
No, okay. They're in finance. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about your careers, because you have very different careers and you're on different sides of the same business, which is transactions. So Thomas, we'll start with you. What is happening at Physician Growth Partners? What is this company?
Yeah, great. The loaded question. What is this company? So Physician Growth Partners, PGP for short. So we're based in Chicago. We're a healthcare investment banking firm, purpose built to really help founders and owners of three buckets of businesses: specialty medical practices, beauty, which is why we're here, and wellness. So those businesses, right, help founders and owners of those businesses explore a transaction, right? See if it's worth something to pursue, and then we advise them through that process. So,
and is it all for
in the traditional
wall
sense,
stuff?
A healthcare investment bank, in the literal sense, providing a white glove service to the white coat community, since it's advising on a transaction with physicians or kind of healthcare business owners, is not a widget company. It's not a textile manufacturer, right? So it takes a lot more kind of hand-holding, if you will.
So are all of the businesses you work with, are they all four wall, like a wellness studio, a medical office, or do they take other forms?
Brick and mortar, yeah, brick and mortar, like see patients. Most of them have, you know, we speak CPT codes, right? Mm-hmm. Medical, healthcare, HCPCS, all these other things, right? So that's kind of our niche. I'd say where it was relevant, me reaching out to you and finding the podcast and the kind of beauty, dermatology, wellness space, mm-hmm, is a burgeoning space for us, right? A lot of M&A activity there. So makes a lot of sense to be here.
Is MedSpa one of those?
MedSpa is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one of your other guests right after us will be talking about that too, because mm-hmm, it's a hot space. But yeah, MedSpa, so we've advised on 20 dermatology medical practice transactions in the past 7 years, more than anybody. But MedSpa, candidly, is a newer space that one of my colleagues who will be joining in the next panel, they've done a lot more in the MedSpa specific space. But yes, so it's MedSpas, it's dermatology, it's you know, we were chatting, and it's this new kind of longevity medicine, mm-hmm. anti-aging, right? Like a lot of that's kind of coming together between like legacy healthcare, which is get sick, get treated, to now how can I, like, is it injectables? Is it wellness things and all that? So we're seeing a convergence of that. And so it's, our clients are now, I guess the short answer to the question is we're seeing our clients are now a convergence of medical and wellness mm-hmm. professionals, yep. right? And then we are there to kind of help facilitate and synthesize what that can look like, right, to the market, and obviously make it attractive because that's what an investment bank will do. But yeah, it's a hot space. Med spa, aesthetics, whatever you want to call it, it's busy.
So Kara, you're on the other side of these transactions. Tell us what you're doing at your company.
Yeah, so we are a boutique law firm about, 15 blocks south from here in New York City. And we work almost exclusively with founders and brands. We have about 1,500 clients. They don't all call us every day. We need a lot more lawyers. But we're interfacing with about 250 to 300 a day, all across beauty, personal care, wellness, food, beverage, supplements, all CPG. And we're doing three primary things along the way of their life cycle. All the day-to-day corporate work, you know, general counsel type stuff, to the financings and capital raises that probably consumes like 70% of my day most days. And then three, if all goes according to plan, I haven't really met a lot of founders that want to pass the business to their kids, the M&A exit work at the end.
It's interesting you mentioned succession planning, not keeping the business in the family. Is that a newer trend? Like when you started, is that happening more often?
I would say it's a trend generally of, you know, this world, I think, that started in the late 90s of innovation by acquisition from mm-hmm. strategic. So our first client ever was Vitamin Water. And that was kind of the first instance where the world kind of took notice. You put a cool looking label, you slap some celebrities on the brand, and you say it's healthier when it's not, and you can make $4 billion when at the time it was Coke, Pepsi, Gatorade, and Nutri-Grain.
Right.
And so it's been kind of all birthed out of that. I think beauty and personal care is experiencing that sort of vitamin water boom in the last 10 to 15 years, you know, with brands like Brook Elephant and, you know, just the growth of DTC to retail and just founders really believing, okay, I can do this too. But just before we leave, what we do, what really makes us different, I think, as a law firm, obviously, if you're a brand, you're going to need a lawyer at multiple different phases if you're doing the right thing, is that we really immerse ourselves in the community so that we could be the first phone call for those founders for everything. You know, I need to hire a new CFO. Who's the best talent recruitment firm? I need a great agency. Who's the great agency? So we really try to, you know, keep ourselves in that ecosystem and build an ecosystem within the law firm that, you know, we can kind of be an extension of the management team as well.
So theoretically, you could both be at the same table in a transaction, right? Let's pretend yeah. your client is your client or the buyer's client. You would find each other in the phase of the transaction where the deal is trying to get done. Is that right?
We definitely could. I think where our world could intersect at some point is, you know, Thomas is working with a great, you know, med spa company that wants to also launch a CPG product, mm-hmm. you know, for more mass distribution. And maybe that's going to sell. And maybe they have, you know, not such good counsel and they want to audition a few for the M&A process. Or they, you know, have an investor who just invests and portfolio company needs, you know, legal counsel on a go forward basis. But I don't know if that's a right interpretation. We could be on the same side or the other side
right.
of the table. I feel like.
Yeah, or there's, so we have a couple like early stage conversations now that are adjacent to the brick and mortar mm-hmm. world, but they're interested in like launching products, you know, getting funding for that. So it's on the capital raise side. So there's different angles of where these physician entrepreneurs is like our client, mm-hmm. right? Has opportunity for us to intersect, not just a brick and mortar, you know, dermatology clinic.
So I want to dig into who your clients are for a minute, because your clients are the physician who owns their own practice or multiple doors in their practice. I'm not going to name names, but through the years, Base Beauty has had clients who are, let's say, dermatologists, and they're very difficult to work with as business owners.
No. So, have you met an orthopedic surgeon? No.
So I'm curious, like, is a lot of your day managing personalities?
So thankfully, we'll probably get into this, like our average day or whatever, right? Like for me, I lead business development, so I'm out managing the pipeline mm-hmm. and helping deal flow in dermatology, beauty, cardiology, mm-hmm. orthopedics. But our head bankers are managing those personalities, mm-hmm. so I hear about that all the time. In fact, we just advise on a transaction in dermatology, and I'm helping massage a press release, right? That's the shareholder has a, you know, is quoted in and but we had to make sure it said certain things and because they had to have it their way, right? And mm-hmm. that's fine.
Kara, you work with a lot of founders.
Yes.
Right? So you are also on the personality train.
Yeah, I think if I bill 15 clients in a given day, it's like having 15 different boyfriends. They all have to feel like they're the only one. You have to get back to them right away or they'll wonder if you're talking, you know. So yes, it's a lot of management. And then I think the trickier part is that some of our founders are very, very smart. Mm-hmm. And that can be a double-edged sword because one, they're easier to deal with because they actually understand what you're sending them. But two, they sometimes think they know more. Mm-hmm. Or on the other spectrum, you have, you know, a founder that's perhaps, you know, from a different industry and they just want to try this out, or they have family money, and that's a personality to manage because, mm-hmm. you know, then you're really drilling into that person's head everything and, you know, maybe not getting through.
The one thing I'll say, not to interrupt, from our perspective, anecdotally, because it's 20 transactions and probably 100 dermatology groups that we've been with and worked with, anecdotally, there are some nuances there to some of those personalities, but I guess having worked with orthopedic surgeons, cardiologists, interventional radiologists, and many others, the dermatologists that we work with are mostly much better than the orthopedic surgeons. So we had that disagreement, I guess, here.
Right. Well, we haven't done any orthopedic related. Yes, well, maybe that's next for us.
So MSK or Beauty Connect, MSK Connect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Musculoskeletal Connect.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to refocus our conversation a little bit on ambition. For you both to be doing what you're doing, my guess is you really love it. Otherwise, you couldn't be doing this every day. The work is hard. How do you stay like really in sync with that ambition when like literally every day is more challenging than the one before in the marketplace, the world's on fire. We all have our own, you know, families and other things that we want to attend to in our personal lives. So what do you channel to stay really excited about your career, Kara?
I've just always loved the people I work with and the people I work for. I think it's a very special, almost like an honor to be working with an entrepreneur who's, you know, in some cases mortgaged their house. They've quit their investment banking job. They've taken a chance, you know, and they deserve like a special level of care. It's also just more rewarding as a lawyer. There's so many different law firm jobs you can have, and other, my husband's general counsel at a private equity fund. Good for you. That's boring. And then the people that I work with, I mean, I applied to 200 law firms and I got one interview, one offer, and it was four people and we had 30 brands and I was pretty sure it wasn't going to work out. But we grew right alongside the industry because we loved each other and we really like bled into it. And the founders believed it. And now, you know, we're sort of the go-to, even though most people haven't heard of us. So mm-hmm. The people I work with and for are what keep me motivated.
And why did you think it wasn't going to work out in the beginning?
Well, the phone was on the floor when I interviewed. And, you know, Nick is a very dynamic guy. And he's just like, we're going to do this. Like, we have enough brands. We're just going to keep growing. And I believed in that. And those first few years were hard. My husband will say, remember when you used to come home crying every night? And I was like, I don't. He's like, you did. But yeah, so it's been a fun journey.
There were times, well, I've had my business for 18 years, but there were times early years for many years, like literally once a quarter, I would like sit down on the couch and cry, like mm-hmm. bawl my eyes out, or walk into Penn Station and hear the voice that says like on track to the 805 to whatever mm-hmm. and be like, I want her job.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, I wanted something like linear, clean, simple, no surprises, mm-hmm. but I don't cry anymore.
Yeah, no, that's an improvement.
I mean, I happy tears, like yeah. I gush, you know, yeah. but like it's yeah. happy tears.
Happy tears, yeah. It has been more happy tears than not, that's for sure, the last few years.
So how does the spark stay alive for you, Thomas?
For me, it's twofold. It's one's for clients and one's for the firm. Mm-hmm. So I guess threefold, one's personal, right? Clients is, you know, prior life with go-to-market strategy, helping in companies with strategy and scale. And so for these founders and owner clients, it's helping them see something that they wouldn't otherwise see, right? And be exposed to that and help them navigate that process. So it's the unknown, right? So that's kind of the client perspective. As a firm, we're a seven-year-old firm, so we're young, if you will.
You're babies.
But we've done more transactions mm-hmm. than most in the space, so it's very entrepreneurial, right? So from the firm perspective, I was hired to be entrepreneurial and how else can we go to market? How else can we get clients? How else can we build our brand and connect with mm-hmm. the right leaders in this different specialties that we cover, like yourself? So that as a firm, that's the ambition, is we just interviewed a few clients, started doing some video testimonials, just things that are avant-garde and they've never done because they're too busy closing deals and advising founders. Third, personally, is, you know, just trying to be the best every day and out compete ourselves every day, right? So put some, I don't know about everybody here, but we have a scoreboard, and how's the scoreboard look today? So
Okay, you just led me right into my next question for you, which is how does wanting to be a professional athlete come to life in your day-to-day? And you just said it. You literally have a scoreboard in the office.
Yeah, scoreboard.
What is on the scoreboard?
I guess the easiest way to, when you think about back to baseball days, right, it's money ball, right? It's all about metrics. So for us, it's the day-to-day is quantity, quality, and then deals, right? So quantity of prospects, like we're all in business to grow. And how many folks are we in conversations with that are either cold, warm, or hot, right? Two is the quality of conversations. Like, that's our pipeline, right? So you got the prospects pipeline. And then three is deals take longer, obviously. But it's more so how many are the conversions that are actually coming through the pipeline from, you know, 6 months ago of not knowing Jody and this organization to emailing you and here we are, right? Mm-hmm. So doing that and measuring that. And I guess back to the question of how does your sports or baseball or whatever else, how does that play into your job? I don't know. I guess I was ingrained in metrics as a baseball player, and I've just fostered that through entrepreneurial sales and marketing and kind of what are we doing and then how are we measuring it and then how can we continue to get better every day?
So is the scoreboard like a digital sign? Does it like have a vibe of, you know, a sports sign? Does it look like a sports sign?
No, maybe I should add like a baseball field though.
Yeah, I feel like it needs like the hits, the runs.
No, it's just a good old fashioned, just think of a Google Doc or a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay, I want a little branding, a little vibe to it.
So throw some branding on there.
Yeah.
You know, the baseball field. My son and I went to the White Sox game last night, so I think you're onto something.
Yeah, there. I think you need some swag in the company that's athletic themed, like jerseys and stuff. Yeah.
Because finance is great, but it can be too, you know, mundane every day. So in terms of that.
Animator, artist, legal. Is there any intersection?
How did we get there? Well, there actually is kind of. So I wanted to be an animator. That passed. And then I wanted to be creative somehow. So I actually went to school for advertising. Absolutely loved it. Wanted to work with brands. Had a great internship at what was, you know, considered like kind of the best agency in my region of the country. And on the last week, I asked my art director how much money she made. And I... that day was like, well, I need to be creative in some other way. Because most of my childhood was, everything was dictated by the lack of. And I just, for me, success was always defined as freedom from that. Not piling up money, but just having enough to where you don't think about it anymore.
Yep.
So that day I Googled, you know, what makes money, writing, and law was that. But it's so crazy to come full circle because I thought I'd given up my opportunity to work with brands. And now I work with brands more than I ever would have, I think, in the advertising world, you know, really interfacing with the people. So it's been a fun journey to stick with.
I would imagine that your experience as a creative, even if it was short-lived, is a real asset and differentiator to your clients, right?
Or at least internally. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have to have, like, I can do a flyer for a party, and I love it. And then also just kind of being able to understand the, you know, a little bit on the creative side and like, you know, interface, because a lot of founders are creatives. Like, that's where they start, and they envision this product and then they bring it to life. So I think speaking that language a bit helps.
Yeah. This theme of trying to build a career so that you have financial freedom, which means also like emotional freedom, came up on the episode with Kara and Rich Gersten. And that was a huge motivator for them. And I would imagine that's also true of other people that you've encountered in this industry, right? There's people who are trying to run away from something, right? Something that didn't feel good. I want to run away from it. I want to make something better for myself. Have you had that experience, Thomas, in your decision-making in your career?
Run away from something?
Yeah, like, this didn't feel good. I didn't like, you know, that we couldn't have this or we didn't do this or, right?
For me, it wasn't what I'm missing. It's more about the entrepreneurial sale and building something. So when you think about, like, our whole business is predicated on strategy, scale, and succession. And so for me, it's more helping contribute to a few exits previously and seeing that materialize was more attractive. And that was like the Google search of whatever, what's going to make money or whatever the Google search was. But seeing that firsthand and seeing the exit opportunity and contribute to that was more so not what I didn't have, but more so the fact that, yes, it's a lucrative space, but more so the impact you can have if you go and go to work and manage numbers and to metrics and all those things we talked about.
So let's talk about how you spend your time outside of the job. Is there time to spend outside of work? Are you working like 24/7, Kara?
Well, I have, you know, the kid job from 6:30 to 8 and then on the flip side of the day. My boys just turned 6 and my girl just turned 9, so that's hectic. But in terms of free time, I love trying to do something like totally opposite. Like my day is reading and writing and talking. Mm-hmm. But I love playing the drums, the guitar, and the piano. And then when I have time, drawing and, you know, just creative outlets, really kind of going the opposite of what I'm doing all day, every day.
So do you have these instruments like in the basement, mm-hmm. and you just go and jam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, we're now, having lived in New York City, a lot of those dreams were put on hold. Mm-hmm. You could have a piano, but yeah, so now I can be as loud as I want.
And do you have a band?
No, but there are a few people in the neighborhood that do like to jam. Yeah. So I've done that a couple of times, which is fun. But no, I don't think I have time for that. Maybe when I'm older.
In the town we live in, there's a lot of incredibly accomplished, talented, creative people whose like full-time jobs are, mm-hmm. you know, being on Broadway and playing music. So on my street, actually, there's a house where they like jam in the driveway.
Oh, yeah?
And they're, you know, talented, accomplished people, and they just want to...
I'll have to stop by one day.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. They attract
the crowd. They actually sound good, is what you're saying.
They're amazing. Yeah, like, I mean, they're professional people who also, like professional artists, musicians, who also jam with their friends and neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's been a fun part of living in Maplewood.
And Thomas, how are you spending your time outside of...
Maybe we'll have our own band someday. But no, I actually just picked up the violin again for the first time in 20 years. So I played growing up for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And my 6-year-old daughter is like loving it. So that's new again.
Mm-hmm. Are you rusty?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I can still play a few songs. You mm-hmm. know, so it's the bass line's there. Right, we'll have to figure out some baseball field and metrics to. Mm-hmm.
Well, you just said baseline.
Yeah, there you go. So that's new. But other than that, it's just on the ball field, coaching my kids, you know, in different sports, and you know, trying to exercise, stay in shape. Right, all, you know, the table stakes for just
staying
every
alive.
Day,
yeah.
staying alive, and not having to rely on the cardiologist client that we're advising on a transaction right now. So.
Okay, so last question before we move to our game is. They're an app that you need for work, but that you like delete because it drives you nuts. So I will give you an example. We're a digital marketing agency. Of course, social media is important. It's, you know, one of the ways we service our clients, but my mental health is not helped by these tools. So like I'll load it up, I'll do something on it, and then I'll literally delete it. Like Instagram, TikTok, gone until like I need it again. So to support your mental health or, you know, your focus, are there any apps that you like need, but then you delete? Kara, we'll start with you.
I can't say need, but delete, although I do feel inundated by the trade show apps. I would love to show up to a trade show and not have to do all the things mm-hmm. in the thing mm-hmm. and just talk to somebody, get a business card or take a picture of their badge.
Right.
But so those kind of drive me crazy, such that not too long ago I just decided I'm not going to do it. And sometimes you're going, you'll have unread messages and meeting requests and like, you know, whatever. It is what it is. It's already stressful enough to travel, mm-hmm. to leave home, to prepare, to research the brands you want to meet, and I'm kind of just done with those.
Okay.
Sorry to Beauty Connect.
These are really good notes because I love those apps because it helps me keep track of everything
actually,
that you just talked about.
I will put an asterisk. The only one that I love is, and this is not because of, you know, the sponsorship, is Beauty Connect mm-hmm. because when you're there, it's such a small show mm-hmm. that it actually fosters true, meaningful connections, and that speed dating process that they have is so, I think, so great. But, you know, for these larger ones like Expo West,
right.
and, you know, it's just, you can't, you just got to go talk to people and walk and hope you finish the show.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Whova? Mm-mm. Whova?
No.
So I had an interesting experience with that and was pleasantly surprised at Conference Healthcare Capital Markets in Columbus in May. And it was similar to that, and I haven't used your app, but I'm looking forward to that, testing it out someday. It was actually, it was like meaningful connections, and it was more pointed, and actually people actually responded, and so it was mm-hmm. unlike a LinkedIn in mail that I get 17 times a day from people trying to sell me their lead generation funnels or whatever.
Yes. I don't like in mail.
It's terrible, but
LinkedIn is an important tool. I'm in business development too.
It is,
but we'll never use it in mail because. I know that it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when you see it, it's like, delete, leave me alone, move into the other folder, so we mm-hmm. won't touch it.
Right.
Yeah, I find mutual connections is kind of the only thing that works. Just friend somebody, if they want to look at you, they want to talk to you. But yeah, I agree that the in-mail is getting out of control.
Well, before we started the conversation, you were and I were talking about like going to events. Is it worth my time? I see the same people. And I think that this is actually one of the reasons why going face-to-face is important because LinkedIn is limited, mm-hmm. right? Email's limited, but we need to see each other face to face again to actually spark an idea or spark a moment mm-hmm. And build relevancy.
Right. No, I agree.
Because we do have our walls up and guarded online because we have to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to answer the question, so I don't have any that I would want to kind of delete, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But my thing for kind of mental health, if you will, or, you know, the things that we use all the time. So I do use the hit the button 3 times and make your screen gray and for the iPhone so that it decolorizes. Is that a word? Decolorize. Mm-hmm. So there you go. If you didn't know, there you go. So you can
it makes the phone less compelling. You can have your compelling.
Whole screen gray so it doesn't make it as, I guess, addicting, so to speak, which is probably came about the kids these days.
Yeah, well, my 17-year-old, he does it because...
My kids are not getting... Sorry to interrupt.
But. He wants to stay focused. He needs the phone, but he wants to stay focused. So he has everything in gray because it makes it less interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to talk offline someday about that. My kids are 8 and 6, so we want to try to have them not have a cell phone until they're 18.
Yeah. Okay, I have a whole list of rules.
Yes, that's a whole other episode. Okay.
They have the Gizmo watch for now. That's good enough. Tracks and my wife's happy. They're tracked. They're good.
Running a digital marketing agency, you see the negative sides of digital marketing and social media. So the kids have, even though they're older teens now, there's a whole list of rules that I did not deviate from at all. And I'm happy to be a resource to anybody who's listening who have young kids and they know that this is coming. I'm happy to share. The rules are on the refrigerator. And it works because now I have kids who actually are responsible.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Now your in-mail is going to blow up. Everybody's going to reach out with your offer. They're going to be
I
need those points.
Okay, let's move on to the game. And you guys set me up for this topic. It's about music. It's a family music showdown. Mm. So you're both parents, always looking for fun and engaging ways to inspire the whole family. So we're going to play this or that game, New York City versus Chicago. Okay. So you're going to pick which one you and your kids would be most excited to attend of all these different music events. So we're going to choose your musical adventures. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. So round one, Strings in the City, Chicago edition. So you can attend the Suzuki Violin Group class, which is the traditional Suzuki method with parental involvement. Did you know about this?
Do not.
Oh, okay. So it's focused on ear training, repetition, and ensemble basics. Or you can go to the fiddle and folk violin. Okay, the Old Town School of Folk Music. It's a relaxed roots music approach to violin. So how are you going to spend your time? We'll start with you.
Yeah, for me, unfortunately, that's kind of an easy one. I'd go with Suzuki. Mm-hmm. Folk, I don't know, I'm kind of not really. I always liked and gravitated towards classical music. Mm-hmm. So, and still, that's part of, I guess, in the car, if I'm not listening to a podcast or catching up on a book or something, it's classical.
So, Kara, what are you going to flex your musical skills with?
I think we're going to go folk. I think my boys would love that vibe, dancing, maybe wear some hats.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Love it.
We're going to do that.
Round two, it's Beat Builders, New York edition. So there's Rhythm Kids, which is world drumming. It's a mixed age drumming class using percussion instruments and incorporates movement. Or you can go to Drum Circle and Percussion Workshop at the Brooklyn Conservatory of Music, which is a hands-on experience to learn basic rhythm patterns. Kara, we'll start with you. Where are you heading?
I'm going to the Brooklyn Rhythm. I started drum lessons at 10 years old, and learning all those basic rudiments was really fun. So I think family would enjoy that.
And Thomas?
Yeah, I'd have to concur. The hands-on and getting after it with the... drums or whatever else would be great.
Okay, we have one more scenario. This is the Sound Lab in Chicago. We can go to a teen digital music workshop, which is where you compose original tracks using digital audio workstations and samples, or DJ mixing basics at the Chicagoland DJ Academy with a hands-on turntable and controller sessions to learn those basic DJ skills. Thomas, where are you taking your family?
I'm going to come up with my own DJ name and figure that out. So option B.
Okay. Think on what your DJ name is going to be. I'm going to go to Kara. We're going to come back to you.
I think I'm going to have to go option B as well. I've always been intrigued by DJ skills. So it'd be nice to have some basics.
Okay. And should I put you on the spot for a DJ name also?
It's funny. I'd have to maybe take a few seconds to think about it. But one of my partners, Blake could probably never listen to this. When he joined us as an associate, as we all did, he was a DJ and he was DJ Johnny Law. So, yeah. So maybe I could borrow something.
Johnny Law.
DJ Carol Law. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Now you've had 14 seconds to think about it. What's your DJ name?
It's like 17 seconds more needed. DJ name.
DJ Home Run.
Oh. Yeah.
DJ Moneyball? I don't know.
Yeah, DJ Home Run.
Home Run?
Yeah. Metrics and baseball. I don't know. It's yeah. okay. You can hate it.
No, I actually really like it. Yeah. Not as like a DJ name, but as like yeah, a, yeah. you know, an industry, yeah. you know, fun, playful name.
That's yeah. a start. You helped me start.
Yeah. 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 You can change. It's fine. Nothing set in stone. It's 2025.
Well, this is a really fun conversation. Thank you both for joining us and for sharing about your careers and how you make magic happen for your clients. Thank you, everybody.
You. Thank you. So fun.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.